The Lord is here. The Lord is here. If you just take this moment just to feel the presence of the Lord. If you take a moment to think just where you're sitting at right now and what he has brought you through just on this day, the Lord is here and he's near to those who call on him. I thank God for being here. I thank God for his presence. Feel it in the atmosphere. Feel it in your spirit. Allow him to come into your heart. Allow him to just saturate every single fiber of your being. If you just let that happen, all of the stuff that you were thinking about, let that go. Enjoy the moment of now and the presence of God and what he is doing right now. I thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. It is him that I live, move, and have my being. To the angel of this house, Pastor Warner. We're so blessed to have a servant leader. There's not a lot of pastors around here that actually serves, and watching him serve makes me tired. But I'm glad, because he sets the bar high for what it is that we need to do as his flock. Our assistant pastor and our accomplished author, Reverend Dr. McKessa Holt. Thank God for her gifts, her spirit. And, you know, she's just awesome in that administrative area, I just tell you. We just thank God for somebody who loves decency and order. Keep us all in decency and order. To my rib cage, my safe place, the love of my life, Minister Tyree Newman. He trying to act like he don't know what I'm talking about, who I was talking about. To my children, who are going through different transitional phases of life, I now have two working women in the house, additional. Yes, indeed. Yeah, we got babysitting jobs now. Yeah. So not only, actually three, because we got an entrepreneur and two working women, so... Praise God for financial independence. Won't he do it? To my Emory Grove family, who I love to life, and to those I miss, anybody who is somebody that should be, everybody, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dr. Rob and Groove at the Grove, I always am thankful for you ushering in and setting the atmosphere. That is also always a blessing, and that's why I said, you know, taking advantage of the moment that we're in and knowing what the Lord is doing at this point in time, because so often we get distracted on a lot of things, right? We our minds flip and flounder and wonder and talking about and wondering what we're doing once we get outside these doors, but we don't want to miss out on what God is doing right now. And I thought that was so appropriate because it's just all lining up with, and I didn't have that in my notes, but in the scripture that was read earlier to you was from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. We hear you say anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I like to preach from the subject matter, make up your mind. Let us pray. Father God, it is in the name of Jesus that I come to you, seeking your face. God, I reach out to you and ask for you to grab hold of every word that comes out of my mouth, so that it may be directed and planted or harvested to those who are in the hearing business. God, I ask you right now to sit me down so you may step forward, so that the words that are coming out of my mouth are coming out with power and conviction and persuasive enough to have someone who does not know you come to you in the knowledge of you and wanting to be saved. God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the right now. I thank you in the name of Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the past couple of months, the women have been meeting, and we've been discussing on the first and fourth Saturdays of the month the book Battlefield of the Mind. And in that time, we meet and discuss and talk about different matters of the mind and how important the mind is and how we need to regulate and discipline our minds, because we don't know what we're doing when we don't. And it gives us some time to sit back and reflect on our own actions and talk about it and apply it to our own lives. Because if you think about it, and if you really are not aware of it, we're on autopilot so much. Everything is automatic, and we just do things without even thinking about it. When we talk about things like, think about what you're thinking about, right? We sit down and reflect on what it is that comes in our minds and how we manifest that and how does that reflect to others and what does that do to us internally. We talk about strongholds and how that is created and the things that happen in our lives and how those walls are built and how we end up walking things out and treating people a different way just because of what things have happened to us. Yeah. And because of those walls, we don't allow God to come in. So we build those strongholds and we continue to just walk in and do the things that we're used to doing because of our experiences. And it's at that point in time where we just recognize that it is our doing in holding ourselves hostage, right? It's our doing because God is the one that is able to free us from all of that. The mind is an important thing, and I just wanted to talk about that to you briefly today, because that's the essence of how we do things, we go about things, we speak, we say things, and being committed to a Christ mindset. I'm hoping that after the end of this sermon that we have the keys to free us up. And to continue to strive for perfection and being effective witnesses for Christ. The importance of the mind holds the power of imagination, recognition, and appreciation, and is responsible for processing feelings and emotions, resulting in attitudes and actions. And the fact that we let that thing loose every day is a little dangerous. It calls for some concerns. And if it is not disciplined, it will get us in some places and situations that we wish we were never in. We know that sometimes, and what we realize, and again, in talking, and shameless plug, but there's plenty good room on first and fourth Saturdays at 10 a.m. to dive into this a little deeper. But that's the only way when we are sitting together as sisters in Christ is in order to acknowledge the things that are happening in our lives that we can get that deliverance. And with that, knowing that, realizing how much of that is the enemy that is taking up real estate in our minds. Right? Rent free, as she said. She preaching with me today. Thank the Lord. But knowing that the enemy is there to kill, steal, and destroy, we must be that much more alert on how we rein our minds in at every age. And that's the point of what we see, what we smell, what we touch, what we hear. All of that affects how our mind works and how we operate with things. And that's why I thought it was very appropriate to bring up the book of James, because he really breaks it down. James is like, I mean, he gives you step by step by step on what to do. And just to give you a little background of the scripture, James is the half-brother of Jesus. And when he wrote this letter, he was writing this letter, it was probably about 30-plus years after Christ's resurrection and ascension into back into heaven. And he was writing a letter to the Christian Jews who were scattered all around. And they were living in challenging times and uncertainty. They were living in fear because there were heightened times of turmoil and violence. They were living in anger because there was corruption and injustice where the rich kept getting richer and the poor kept getting poorer. They were living in defeat because there were competing religious ideas that promised blessings in the form of material prosperity as well as an escape from many of life's challenges, which challenged their own Christian way of living. It developed a shallowness in their lives. Many were professing the faith, but not living it. They were wearing the cross, but not acknowledging the power of it. The religious faith was mere social convention rather than a transforming way of life. And I thought that it was kind of ironic because, you know, James, in the midst of all of this and the trials that they were experiencing, earlier on in the chapter, he challenged their minds in an unconventional way. And he told them to take joy in your sufferings. Take joy. Count it all joy. What kind of foolishness is that? It was kind of strange because he started off that way and he talked about the perseverance of faith. And later on, he says, listen, okay, I know it sounds kind of a little crazy, count it all joy when you're going through your trials. But listen, if you want to get out of this thing, if you don't know how to navigate it, if you don't know how to get this joy, just ask for it. Ask for wisdom. Simple and plain. Just ask for the wisdom. You're going to get it. God ain't going to say nothing to you. He ain't going to ask you why you want it. He ain't going to judge you. If you don't know how to get there, ask for it. He goes a little further to say, now that you've asked for it, you have to have your mind made up. You can't ask for it all over the place. You got to ask for it with your mind made up. And that's why we need to make up our minds. Coming off of Resurrection Sunday, I was saying, you know, that the crowds were going to thin out a little bit, just as I was expecting, you know. the high is worn off, and you know the Easter dresses, you know, they back in the closets, and you know, we back to our regular clothes, and you know, we done rip the tags off, maybe return some of the, I don't know. But in looking at this and talking to how James was talking to the church back then, is the same as how we are today. And it's amazing how it's been 2,000 plus years and we still have that same type of attitude. Still. That goes to show how God's word is relevant in our lives. And this thing, in this book, I don't have it anymore, but this book, is he a book? I don't want to lose your page. Has every single thing that we need from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that goes to show that that letter that was relevant to the church then is relevant now. And the urgency that he has at the church then is urgent now. The current mindset of the church, we have those same pressures of the world. How you gonna pay the rent when all your money's spent? How you gonna face tomorrow when it seems like everybody has turned their back on you? How you gonna get through the next hour when it seems like there is no hope in sight? How you gonna shake off the worries of the world without losing your mind? Up in here, up in here. But James told us to ask for wisdom. And you have to move in a certain way in order to get that wisdom. Your mind has to be made up. And understanding God's ways is that wisdom that he gives us to navigate through life's challenges. It's not that we're going to get the answer and we're going to get the resolution, but he's going to help us to get through it and get through to that deliverance. So I wanted to kind of give you and just deep down a little bit just to expose what the double mindset looks like, right? Because sometimes we talk about it, we look at it, and we don't understand it, or, you know, we just overlook it. So just so that we all have that gift of awareness and we're all on the same page, I want to talk about what the mindset looks like, where it takes you, and where God wants to lead you. So what does it mean to be double-minded, and what does that look like? If you just kind of picture what double-minded looked like. It's one who cannot make a decision. One who vacillates back and forth and not being committed to anything. One who has erratic decision-making. One who's fighting and constantly arguing with oneself. One who's wavering. One who is disloyal or lacking allegiance. One who's wobbling, unstable, has internal conflicts. It's almost like a little child when you see them in high heels when they're walking in their mother's shoes. And the mind is filled with lies from the enemy. And it's almost like even in this weather. It was warm yesterday. I don't know what happened today. But we're still trying to figure out, I wish this weather would make up its mind. God knows what he's doing. We the ones that got to make up our own mind. If it's cold outside, put a jacket on. If it's warm outside, put your shorts on. But knowing and feeling, figuring out what it is that God's doing, we are the ones that have to kind of control and put a leash on our minds. He tells us in his word, you know, all the time and describes what this means and how distasteful this is to him. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." He says, again in Revelations, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So if you're going to be about it, be about it. If you're going to bust hell wide open, bust hell wide open. But in the being in the middle is not where God can use us and where he wants us to be. So we have to learn how to make up our minds. He also says, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? God doesn't deal with any ambiguity. We have to be on one side or the other. It's almost like we put our trust in God and we give it to him and we say, here, God, these are problems. It's my problem. I'm giving it all to you. But you know what? No, I'm going to need that right back because this part here, I don't think you can handle. But you know what, God? You know what? I'm going to give this right back to you because God is like, what is you doing? He ain't doing nothing with that because we're not being committed and we're not showing our commitment to anything. So we know, are we kind of pretty clear on what the double-mindedness looks like? Because when we have that gift of awareness, we have it in front of us, we know what and what not to do. We can check ourselves, right? When we start encountering some things, we can kind of realize, you know what? This is double-mindedness. So where does double-mindedness take you? That's one simple. Nowhere and all over the place at the same time. Okay? Like the toss, the waves going back and forth. They have external forces that move those waves that's outside of their control. And that's how we are when we don't keep our minds in check. We allow people from the outside to talk us into stuff. We allow the things that we experience talk us into stuff. We have this constant confusion and noise that are coming in and out of our minds daily, let alone the news that we watch every day, let alone all of this stuff that is going on. And we still continue to process it as if this is what God wants us to do. God says that you can't get to your promised land with being double-minded. He showed us in Deuteronomy with when he talked to Moses before Moses died, and he said, you know what, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but because you sinned against me, you can't go over there. With Joshua and Caleb, and when they brought the spies, the Israelites went over there to see what was going on in the promised land, and they came back and they said, you know what? I don't think we're going to be able to handle that. They're too big for us. We're not going to be able to make that. God said, all right, you double-minded. After I done showed you, after I done parted the Red Sea, after I done brought you through all of this stuff, everybody 20 and up, it's not going to be able to make it over. Joshua and Caleb, who was in that 19 and under or 20 and under crowd, was able to see that. But because there was no allegiance and no recognition of the power of God, we can't get to our promised land. There's no destination. We realize that when we go round and round and experience the same things over and over again in our lives. And that's how it looks. When we continue to come to that same spot where you say, well, how did I get here? And why am I here? And how did I get here again? And what am I doing to continue going to these places? It's because our minds are not made up. We talk about a free spirit. Free spirits are all over the place. It's one minute they're here, one minute they're there. You don't know what they're doing. And God can't control when we allow ourselves to be so free in our minds without holding on to Christ. We're going to be nowhere and everywhere at the same time. But there's hope. Thank God for hope. Because God even knew before we would get ourselves in the messes that we would get into. That we would need some kind of deliverance. Yeah. That we would need some kind of tools to help us to get ourselves delivered and outside of the mess so that we can make our minds up. We have to make choices. We have to be intentional about doing the things that God wants us to do. We have to eliminate the noise in our minds and kind of settle. And that's why I was saying the ministry of now. I was talking to my daughters in the car on the way here. And I said, enjoy the ministry of now. Because when our minds are all over the place, we kind of tend to run ahead of God. And we don't experience the things that he's doing for us. And we so look out and miss the blessings that he's doing right now. And we're pining over things that happened yesterday. And we're worrying about the things that are going to happen tomorrow. But God is doing a thing right now. He said there's hope. He gave us shoes of peace. And in our Bible study, we talked about those shoes of peace because in the Roman soldier, the shoes in the war, in the battle, had little spikes in them. And those were for you to dig yourself in the ground so that when the enemy came towards you, you were able to plant and be steady. God works in the steady, right? He wants us to have those shoes of peace. And when we ask and when we pray for the armor of God, that is one of the things that we have to have so that we can receive the things that he has for us. He said, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He also said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, which is no flip-flopping. Jesus doesn't work that way. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We're the ones that flip-flop and go back and forth, but we are the ones that have to, if we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have to take on that mindset and do just as Jesus did so that we can be effective in the ministry, so that we can be effective witnesses. Because if we tend to kind of get plucked out and thrown all over the place every time a trial happens, the unbeliever is saying, why do I need to accept this Jesus, this one that they call Jesus? We have to look different. We have to do different. And it's a conscious thing that we have to take on every day. And it's not like we won't encounter those doubts. It's not that we won't have trouble in challenging our own faith. But God gives us that, and we have to make that recognition and understanding that he is the one. With him, we can do all things. Because without him if we keep moving without him, again, we'll be tossed to and fro. Keeping our minds stayed on Jesus is a discipline. It is something that we have to continue and to work at every single day. Peace is a fruit. And in a fruit, it has to cultivate. It has to grow. You have to care for it in order for it to happen, in order for it to come to fruition. Some of these things that we do, we kind of take it off. We think we have it. We dig it out the ground. It's taking too long, right? We're still walking around with a seed when the apple, when he wants us to have an apple on the tree, right? We tend to do and go outside of God's timing, and we just have to understand that we have to subject our minds to Christ. Subject our minds, even in the things that we think about from minute to minute. Making it almost like a bounce in the club, right? Back in the day, all way back in the day, you had your bouncer at the door. He had the little flashlight, checking your ID. Now, to say sometimes the ID was fake back in the day, but that's how we have to do with our mind. With the things that come in our head, the things that we're receiving, we have to make sure and get that Holy Ghost bouncer to say, is this something that needs to enter into my mind? being and having a sound mind and making up your mind, that it requires work. Being a Christian and accepting Christ does not mean we're on easy street once we accept it. Like, he going to do everything. We just going to sit back with our hands behind our head. It requires work. And what we're asking, what he's asking us to do is just stay on the path that he has for us. Just stay on the path. Just hold my hand and let me walk you through this. Just don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Don't look over at Sally John or Keisha May. Because we're always in somebody else's stuff, right? It's always in where we want, oh, I wish she would make up her mind. We in the behind the line at McDonald's. And, oh, I wish they would make up their mind. They know what's on the menu. God is doing the same thing with us. How about we need to make up our own minds and figure out what it is that we need to do on a daily basis to make sure that we don't have God tapping his foot and waiting on us. He got too much work to do. It's too much work out here. And we just continue to just fall into the day-to-day routines of, oh, I got to get up and work, got to go, blah, 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 just in that autopilot mode. And not even focusing on what and putting God first. Subjecting everything that we have to him. Allowing everything that we do is for him. And when we start directing our minds and making up our minds that we will seek God first, so that all other things will be added unto us, then we will be such a much more effective witness for Christ. Because getting into the voice of reason and trying to lean onto our own understanding, and, you know, we realize over and over again that this does not work. And we keep saying it. We know it. I trust you, God. I know. You ever talk to somebody? I know. I got to do better, but. I know I got to trust God, but. Get the butt out the way. Just do it. Sometimes, and you're talking, you get frustrated because they come and experiencing the same things over, and we come with the same story. We just had this conversation. Just do it. It's just that, and it sounds, I know it is hard. It's a hard thing. It sounds as simple as it is, but it is that simple at the same time. Are you going to trust him or you not? You got to make up your mind. You can't do one and then think about the other. If you're going to trust him to deliver you through something, then trust him. If you have an addiction that you need to get through, to trust him. You don't have to go back and be comfortable and just say, oh, well, you know, I just fell off this one time, but, you know. And he will give you, he allows you the grace to get you back over and over again. But it's at a certain point in time that he got to tell you, listen, you cannot make it to the promised land. Because you are continuously, he's full of grace and mercy. But you have to come to a point where you have to decide, I have made up my mind. And knowing that he made up his mind, you will realize that when you make your mind up, that things are so much freer. As hard as it is, and it's the work that you put in front, in the forefront that makes things a little easier. I tell it at work all the time. Put the work in now. Because if you ain't got time to do it the first time, you ain't gonna have time to do it again. Yes. Put your work in now. So you can lay that foundation and you can continue a habit and you can continue to teach your children and your children can teach their children based on you making up your mind. God is waiting on us. He is waiting on us. As we heard, he woke us up this morning, started us on our way. His love never changes. It's the ones that we change all the time. When are we going to align up with Christ and do the things that he has called us to do? We can't afford to be ineffective witnesses. We cannot. There is too much work out here to be done. And the quicker that we can get to the work that needs to be done, the more effective that we can be, the mightier miracles that we can see. We look for it. We look for it. We look for it. But we don't see it because we double-minded. Let's make up our minds today. If we stand to our feet.